the little ones to contend with. We have bosses to contend with. We have enemies to contend with. And I don't care if you're a Christian. How many knows everybody has enemies of sorts? You know, somebody you just cannot get along with. You've tried and you just clash. And so you have those. And the Bible tells us how to approach that and how to. But I thought, it's hard. We live in a world where, you know, we say, well, where do you stand up? And when do you say, you know, nothing? And when do you know what to say exactly or how to act or react? And then there are times when God sends a situation or a person or something to see how we will stand up. So it can get kind of complex sometimes. When do we know if this is a God thing or if this is we should say something or we shouldn't? And so I got to thinking about that, and this is what the series is about. It's just kind of meditating on that. And so we'll take off. And I want to start with a familiar story that will set a kind of a foundation, lay a foundation for us here on any situation you're facing. When do you stand up and how do you approach that? How do you and these are some principles I'll give you this morning that will work regardless of what the situation is. And so this is why I'm starting with this familiar story this morning. Everybody have your sword ready to learn? This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can give what it says I can give. I can go where it says I can go. I can learn what it says I can learn. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Samuel 17. This is a man after God's own heart. Now, Pastor Eric last week painted a picture that I'd never thought about. How many, when he was talking about his brothers didn't like him, I never looked at it in that light. And then, you know, when I reflected on what I was going to be teaching, I thought, well, that could be a possibility. You know, if you there's some different ways to look at it, but always looked at him as highly favored, I guess, you know, until you brought that light on him. And you see what he's talking about in part of this scripture today. I mean, it kind of sheds a light on what he was preaching last week about maybe some of the rivalry with his older brothers. But the story says, and we'll go in most of you are familiar with the story. If you're not, you can read it in your leisure. But I want to hit the scriptures that I really want to focus on today. And it talks about in verse 3, the Philistines stood on a mountain and they're squared off, and they're not in battle yet, but they're squared off. They're standing up really and doing nothing. They're standing up, but they're just nothing's happened so far, but except for the enemies taunting them. The Philistines stood on the mountain on one side. Israel stood on the mountain on the other side with a valley in between. And a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits in a span. And he had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. He had a bronze armor on his legs, bronze javelin between his shoulders. Now the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels, and a shield bearer went before him. So this guy, this is a champion of, he's like Shaquille O'Neal big. We ate downtown last night at Red's Prime Steakhouse, Jan and I and a few friends, and for our 41st anniversary. And our waiter said, Shaquille O'Neal, he heard us talking about the NBA Finals. He said, Shaquille O'Neal came into the restaurant. He said, it looks so funny. Everything he touches, he said, a fork looks like a Barbie fork when he's holding it. He said, a regular bowl. He said he ordered some chicken. I said, well, probably, Mr. O'Neal, you may want two of those. They're not very big. He said, I like you. Give me two of them. You know, those kind of things. And I thought, this is probably how Goliath would look if he sat down at a table. He was huge. And some of the commentaries I read suspected he would be closer to over eight feet tall or nine, and so it'd be taller, bigger than Shaq. But you can just imagine Shaquille O'Neal, if you will, is one of the biggest men that we know, and just decked out in armor everywhere and standing before you, very intimidating. And he was like Shaquille in the fact that they had special made weapons for him. They were huge weapons, you know, extraordinarily huge to intimidate. Verse 8 says, "Then he stood and he cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, 'Why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us.' And the Philistine said, 'I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together.' And when Saul and all of Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid." They were dismayed and greatly afraid. Here's something I want to give to you this morning. When you're talking about standing up, and in this case it's military, it's a bully, if you will, and everywhere you go there's going to be bullies, right? You're on the road, there's bullies honking at you. Last night when we were downtown trying to park, people's honking at everybody because there's no parking space, and just trying to really bully their way into a parking spot and all. And so they're going to be everywhere. Every at school, you know, the kids face bullies at school, and then. At work, there's bullies at work. Usually the bullies are kind of like this guy. They're loud and they're blunt and they're in your face trying to bark out orders. You ever notice that? Most time that's what the bullies do. They get very loud. Jana's worked for Carter, and she's now working for the Chickasaw Nation, and she'll describe people at work, and you just know them. You know they're the kind that if you call them, and here's my thing for bullies like Goliath, they come barking out orders, and the best thing I found for that is when you're standing up is just to look them in the eye. And it's not that it may not be scary for you, but it's the best way that I have found to say, you know, you don't have to yell at me. I'm fairly intelligent, and we can work this out. You know, and approach them every time. That's what when Jana went into the secular world after being a stay-home mom and volunteered at school for a while, and she'd see these bullies, I said, the best thing I can give you for a bully is every time they cross the line, meet them right there. Just let them know. Every time you yell, you start your scream, I'm going to be right there and we're going to talk. We're going to talk eyeball to eyeball. But here's what I want to give you. They try to set the rules. He wasn't the king. He wasn't the... Who let him make all the rules? Here he is. He's standing out on the field making the rules up. Give me a man. Now, if I'm King Saul, I'd say give him about 10,000 arrows as fast as you can get them over there. Why didn't they do that? I mean, he's big, but he's not God. He's not, you know, infallible. He's vulnerable. David proves he has vulnerability, right? He lays him out on the battlefield. But here's what I want you to get. Bullies will try to set the boundaries and the rules, and you don't have to abide by them. How many knows who sets the rules in your life? Hello? It's right here, isn't it? When a bully's yelling at you and telling you and setting the rules, you don't have to abide by that. In fact, here's something you don't have to do. You don't even have to get upset. What did Jesus say? I have come that you might have what? And have what? And then he said, my peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you. We don't even have to get upset. We do because we're more carnal than spiritual. Aren't you glad you came? We get upset and we let the enemy, just like with this group, here he's one man, he's not the king, he's not, you know, he's not supposed to be setting the rules, but everybody on both sides is allowing him to set the rules. The bully does not set the rules. Everybody say that. The bully does not set the rules. I remember one time when I was in junior high, we had a school bully. And I hope you're not kin to him or know him real well, but he was what he was. And I'll just tell you, his name was Johnny Mann. And I would watch Johnny Mann, and he would go over. He was like a couple of grades above us. And so he would go into the younger kids, and we would work out and track or whatever we were doing and play in our sports. And he would take his old sweaty clothes that he'd pulled off or whatever, and he'd say, "Carry these to the locker room." And you'd see the little kids grab a hold of his old sweaty clothes and carry him to the locker room. Well, one day it was my turn. he came up to me with his old sweaty clothes. It was my Goliath, okay? It was my Goliath that day. And he came up to me and he says, "Carry these clothes," and handed them to me. And he thought I was going to get them. And I just was reaching out to put them. He just dropped them on the ground. I said, "I'm not carrying your clothes." And I thought, "And I'm scared to death right now." And he looked at me, and I looked at him, and he's bigger, he's stronger, and he picked up his clothes and walked off, and I'm like, "Thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus." But I didn't carry his clothes, and guess what? He never asked me to carry his clothes again. Now, I don't know if that's smart or not. Some of that's just stubborn. I'll admit my faults. But I thought, "I'm not caring. I'm not asking you. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I'm not going to ask you to carry my old sweaty clothes." And I'm telling you, there's something about when we're doing it right that God will help us when we're going against bullies. And they don't get to set the rules. You say, "Well, my bully happens to be my boss." It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Janet told her boss the other day that's somewhat of a micromanager, "I can run this department if you will just trust me." I said, "Come on, give me some knuckles." And I'm not, she's not a bully, she's just, that's her nature, that's her, she's a good boss, for Janet likes her. But I'm just saying, you know, there's times when we have to just say what needs to be said, and we need to make sure that we're not going to let the bullies make the rules. They don't make. It's kind of like when Jesus, when Pilate looked at him and said, "You know what? I have power to release you or kill you." And Jesus looked at him and said, "You have no power at all except for what's been given you by my Father." You don't set the rules, is what Jesus was saying. You don't set the rules. Now, I want to show you, and the reason I picked this story, there's a couple of principles I want to give you. And by the way, when we spoke and they were dismayed and greatly afraid, because they took to heart what he was saying is law. Now, we have to keep in mind, and I'm not sure, remember I told you a while ago, some bullies are prepared for you. I just wondered, when Goliath was sitting there eating his bowl of cereal in the morning, the Holy Spirit wasn't saying, "Have another." He grew, didn't he? He was bigger. And maybe, you know, God raised up, just like with Pharaoh, God hardens Pharaoh's heart. The bully Pharaoh, remember, God hardened his heart. And when maybe he would have let him go early, he said, "But I've got a plan and a purpose." And I don't understand that. And we cannot fault God to say, "Oh, I can't believe you hardened his heart. And if you let him alone," you know, God is, when we cross a line, which I believe Pharaoh did, then it's fair. We are fair game. It's kind of like a reprobate mind. We've gone too far. And Pharaoh kind of looked at himself as God. And so God says, "You want to play God? I'll show you what that feels like." So we have to be careful. But I just wondered sometime if maybe this Goliath was raised and grown specifically for this day, for him to catapult David into authority and show David. So we skip on down in the lesson, and we see David. Look in verse 20. David rose early in the morning, left the sheep with the keeper. And you remember, David had been playing the harp for Saul. He had been at the palace, and then he'd go home for a season and let him return home. Then he'd go to the palace again. So he's back home. The battle is, you know, all the warriors are gone. And so he's out, he's back home with the sheep. And it said he left the sheep with the keeper, took the things and went to Jesse, had commanded him, and he came to the camp of the army and was going out to fight and shouting for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had drawn up in battle array, army against army. David left his supplies in the hand of the supply keeper, ran to the army, and came and greeted his brothers. His dad said, go check on your brothers and see how they're doing. And as he talked with them, there was a champion. Here comes Goliath out one more day. Goliath by name, coming from the armies of the Philistines, and he spoke according to the same words. So David heard them. That doesn't say how many thousands of men are there, and he's heard this day after day, this man taunting them, but they all heard it. But today it's a different day. Today the bully's going to speak, and somebody that says, I don't have to put up with that, you don't set the rules, and you will not say that around me. You know, that's why they hire different CEOs to run different companies according to the needs. Because what happens with one CEO, a new one comes in, and then all of a sudden things change. They're hearing the same thing. Or maybe you've been there, a department leader or some kind of a leader. And as soon as they hire you to fix everything, you come in and a set of new ears is now listening to the bullies, listening to those that's been out of order, and all of a sudden they don't change, but everything's getting ready to change because now you've shown up. Because you're here now. So David heard what he was talking about. Verse 24, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. So the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come to defy Israel. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king, will enrich with great riches. We'll give him his daughter and will give his father's house exemption from taxes of Israel. So your house and your family is going to be tax exempt. Wouldn't you be a hero if you fought a battle and went home to your family and said, guess what? You don't have to pay taxes no more because I stood up to the bully. You owe me a steak dinner at least. Oh, and by the way, there's a wedding coming. I got the king's daughter. And I'm going on vacation. Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, what shall be done for the man who kills the Philistines and takes away the reproach from Israel? I thought, now here's where I've got to think about what Eric said. You know, here he is, and he's been told that these three things are going to get riches, the king's daughter, and tax exemption. And I thought, if you have older brothers, you never take anything at face value. Especially if you're the baby of the family. How many think it's so and it's not? So David, after he hears the news in verse 26, he says, for who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered in this manner, saying, so shall it be done for the man who kills him. So he confirms it twice. Now, I think this is important because, you know, sometimes we think, well, all we look at when we stand up to a bully, all we look at is the consequences. What if I stand up to this bully and I get hurt or I get, you know, it gets worse or you know, it turns out that I'm injured or we look at what could happen in a bad sense when David is really focused on the reward. And I think that's key if you're going to stand up to a bully. That's kind of like in here with, remember Johnny Mann that I was telling you about? When I would not take that, I thought I may get hit today, but it would be worth it for me not to walk the hall of shame, you know, from here to the locker room with this sweaty stuff from here out. That was my thought. I didn't think about that. To me was more of a reward than it was getting punched. And by the way, just for the record, I've never been punched. I know that sounds weird for some of you guys that just grew up fighting. But let me tell you, I'm a lover. I like the peace. You know, I had one guy in class when we were friends and he got mad at me and took a swing at me. That's the closest I ever got to getting punched. And I was, back then I was quick. And so I just went back in my reaction. I didn't want to hit him in the nose, so I just took the ball of my hand right here, and I went, wow, I went, boom, and that was my reaction. I hit him in the chest and knocked him to the floor, and I said, don't do that. And he didn't. That's the closest I ever came to a fight. Now, I would fight, but it would have to really be something you'd have to be picking at my family. You know, if you're picking on my family, I will fight. You'd have to really pick hard at me because I don't take what you say very personal. I don't. I know me, and if I'm good with God, then I don't really care what you say about me. And as a pastor or a leader, you know there's going to be bullies everywhere picking at you and shooting at you because you're visible. You're up front. You're saying things, so you just expect it. If you want to be in leadership, just know that you're going to have more bullies than the rest because you're up front. You're saying things that people's going to disagree with, and you have to say, I checked my heart. I know I'm okay with God. And if I've offended you, I'm sorry, but, you know, you really don't carry that around. If you do, you won't lead very long because there's just more bullies going to pick at you if you're a leader. My son was under stress, and when he was in Spain, might have been Japan. He's been so many places, but he's cross-trained, and he went into security, doing background checks and things, and he would have to clear you before you could go to certain areas on the base. And he says they took his helper away. This lady that was helping him, and she was transferred out, and so he was all by himself, and the work was just piling up. He's working, he said, over 12-hour days, sometimes 15, and he just couldn't keep up. And a tech came in at the same rank as he was and said, I want this done today. He said, that will not get done today. You are not priority. Get out of my office. He left. Before he left, the guy says, yes, you will get it. And he started putting it on his desk. And my son said, if you put that on my desk, I'm going to punch you in the nose. That's stress, isn't it? And so the guy left. And he thinks, you know, now I can get back to my work. Well, the guy showed back up with a captain. Captain says, Sergeant, you're going to get this out today. This is what he said. No, sir, I'm not. It's not priority, and it's not going to go out today, sir. And the captain starts toward his desk. And Jake says, Captain, if you put that on my desk, I will punch you in the nose. And the captain said, Sergeant, I can see you are stressed. We'll be back later. We'll just get caught up with your work and let us know when you can do this. And I said, son, that is one of the stupidest things you've ever done. He said, well, I was just stressed, Ed. I know you were. And I said, that's why it was stupid. You were stressed. You done something out of stress. I said, if he would have come in and he would have been threatening your kids, I don't care if he's the president of the United States. Punch him in the nose. You've been commissioned and ordained to stand up and fight that battle for your family. But don't punch somebody because you're stressed over a stack of paperwork. I hope you never do that again. But we do that, and we do that because we're it's about us. It's, you know, that was a selfish act. That wasn't some, you know, he should have been under authority, and he should have respected the captain that was higher ranking and all. And so I say that because we get in the carnal realm, but we need to. God cannot bless that. I think if he had punched the captain, he'd have went through the process to the jail and all that stuff and maybe lost rank. And that was a stupid thing to do. That was not what God would have him to do, because simply he said to obey those that have authority over you. Now, if he tells you to do something immoral or unethical, that's a different story. That falls under a different category. We cannot do that. But I'm just saying, these are real life situations where we need to be careful. If we're not careful, we're going to find ourselves paying the consequences, and it won't be good. So the people answer. Now, here's where, when Eric was preaching, that it looks like he might have been shown us a side that we didn't see, or I never thought about. And it says in verse 28, now Eliab, his older brother, heard that when he spoke to the men, Eliab's anger was aroused at David, and he said, why did you come down here? Now, you've got to remember that David was already anointed king. They had already come to their house. Eliab had stood before the prophet, and he was ready to be anointed as king. And the prophet looks at him and said, you're not the one. And so all the other older brothers that are here, same thing. The prophet's there, he's got the oil, and he looks at the second, you're not the one. The third, you're not the one. And finally, when all the brothers have passed, they said, is there anyone left? And so, well, there's David, the younger, out tending the sheep, and they call him, and sure enough, when he came, in front of all of his brothers, he poured the oil on his head. Let me ask you something. Have you ever got a blessing in front of your family and they weren't too happy about it? Have you ever? I have. You know, we try to work hard and take care of our finances and do well. And we have people that in our family that come to the city and never come by to see us because we had a new house. And they wanted a new house. I'm always happy. Aren't you happy when people do well? When people, you know, are faithful stewards and God blesses them. I think that's, it said rejoice with those that rejoice. But I'm telling you, we can have bullies in our own ranks just like David did. Before he goes to the bully Goliath, he has to go to the bully Eliab, his own family. And then watch him, watch what he says. You know, he says, and with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? That's pretty degrading, isn't it? Where's that little tiny herd of sheep you're supposed to be overlooking? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart. For you have come down to see the battle. Now, here's the principle I want to give you. And this is why I started with this story. David said, what have I done now? And look at this. And you, I got this underlined with a circle around it in my Bible. Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? That's what people are saying when they say, I want to choose my battles wisely. In other words, why am I going to fight this battle? Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? And the answer would be, absolutely there's a cause. If somebody don't stand up and if they don't win this battle, how many knows their freedoms and their rights are going to be gone? How many say, I'd fight for that one? We fight as Americans, we fight that all the time. That's why we're proud of our military, because we know they're out fighting for what really matters. They're fighting for our freedoms, and so we can live in a free society. And that's what David said. Is there not a cause? This guy, if he wins, and we're all going to be under the Philistine rule. Is there not a cause? It'd be like laying down whenever the Japanese attack Pearl Harbor. Just laying down and say, well, you know, it's not worth fighting over. We'd all be speaking Japanese today. We'd been under communist rule. How many knows this is a cause? This is a battle worth fighting for. This is worth it. That's why our young men go die, because it's worth it to have a family and freedom. Is there not a cause? And that's what I think, if we would start with that, every time when we're approached with a bullying situation, if we would say, what is the cause here? What do I need to stand up and give an account for? For me that day with the bully that wanted me to carry, I thought, you know what? I don't want to carry your sweaty stuff. I think that's demeaning. And to me, it was worth fighting for. It's worth taking a punch. I'm not carrying your stuff and being demeaned as a human being. And because I stood up and I recognized that as a cause that I was ready to fight for, I never had to carry that or never had to fight that battle again. He never picked on me again in school. He marked me as one that says he will stand up for a cause. There's another statement, though, I want to give you. But before we get there, I want to show you something. So he says, is there not a cause? Look at verse 30. Then he turned from toward another, and he said the same thing, and these people answered him as the first did. In other words, he asked one more time, three times, he wants to know what's the reward for killing this giant. And I think that's important because when Colton was with me the other day, he was talking about giving to he had a set of Kevin Durant headphones, and he was really proud of them. And He said, you know, Papa, he said, I gave to some mission outreach. He said, it wasn't much, but I gave $7 by faith. And he said, I think that's why the Lord blessed me with these Kevin Durant headphones. I didn't give now, he said, to expecting to receive. I said, listen, it's okay to give and expect to receive because God said when you give, you will receive. It's okay. You know, some of us want to be so humble, and I think we're lying inside when we don't expect to receive. And listen, if God said, it's okay, give and you shall receive, there's nothing wrong when you give to expect to receive. And so three times he wants to know exactly, is this really true? Will I get, you know, riches and the king's daughter and tax exemption? Three times. And that's not unholy. We think of it as being selfish or unholy. It's not. And when you're thinking about, when you're standing up for your rights, and maybe some of you will be thinking, if I say what needs to be said to my boss or my co, I might lose my job. I'm telling you, you can stay in the mess or you can say what needs to be said, and God will bless it if you do it with humility and you do it with a godly attitude. There's no hidden motive. It's not like I just like to do this. No, this is standing up for what's right. It's okay. It's okay to say, what's the payoff? What's the payoff? And so three times he asked just to make for sure before he takes the field. How many knows David was very confident? I think he was ordained for this moment, but he also knew the risk that's involved. And so it's okay to ask. I think it's okay to think about and meditate and say, what would be the blessing? If this was different, here's what I like to do when a bully approaches. Before I say, you know, what's the cause? And if I feel like this is something I need to approach and I need to take care of, then I'm going to approach it. Now I turn from, I'm not focused on, am I going to? Now I'm focused on, how does God want me to approach this bully? Believe it or not, we've had bullies here in leadership. And we have to deal with them. And it's not easy. It's not easy, but it's necessary. It's not pleasant, but I'm telling you, the payoff is huge because when you come before someone and you correct something that's out of order and God brings order, everybody's like, thank you. Thank you very much. Same way it's your. Let me tell you something. You know, all these holidays, we have 4th of July coming, we have different holidays we celebrate. And if it's at your house and you have relative bullies, you know what? This year, why don't you say, what is the cause? Well, the cause is, I'm going to keep peace in my house. The cause is, Aunt so-and-so or Uncle so-and-so or Grandma, whoever it is, they're not going to disrupt this year. This year, they're going to have the goodness of God to contend with. It makes a difference. It makes a difference. If it's at your house, it makes a difference. I don't care who the bully is, it makes a difference. That's the payoff. Now, so David goes on down and he approaches Saul and he tells him, you know, I've killed the bear, killed the lion that came out to get my sheep. And so he lets him go. He convinces him. And remember, David's been in his presence before over here, and he's watched David. In fact, when the first report came about David, it was, he's a mighty man of valor. I'm sure there's somebody out there watching him with his sling and hearing the stories of the lion and the bear, and that's what they came. A sheep herder. But at the same time, when the report comes back to Saul before he brings him into the palace to play the harp, he said, this kid's good. He's a mighty man of valor. He's a warrior. He's a musician, skilled musician, and they bring all these things in. So he knows a little about David, and he lets him go. And here's the only thing, Eric, I thought about whenever Eliab is on him. And here's why I never thought about him as degrading, is what it appears here until you brought that to us. Is because if that was my little brother, and he was going to go out and stand up against that bully with a slingshot, I would be scared to death for him. That's the light I'd always seen that in. But I thought, that's so degrading that probably you're right. He probably had, and then when they anointed him with the oil in front of everybody, they probably really had that in their heart, you know. But I thought, if it's my little brother and he was going out for that battle, there would be a part of me that would be afraid for him. And not only that, but Dad's going to kill me if you get killed. You know, you let your little brother go out there with a slingshot? What were you thinking? So just in Eliab's defense on that part. So the first thing I wanted to give you is they're not a cause. And let's look on, because here's a really important part that if we miss this, and these two principles, they'll work with any bully situation that you have. We're going down to verse 40. He's convinced Saul. First thing he does, he arms himself with what he intends to use to kill the giant. Then he took his staff. David took his staff in his hand. He chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook, put them in the shepherd's bag in a pouch with which he had and his sling in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine. See the question's over. You're going to approach the bully, so now you're taking action. You know, you've decided that the cause is worth the battle. Regardless of the consequences of what you suffer, you've decided. Once you decide that it's the cause, I mean, knows if it's worthy, it's worthy. Because your mind, and I tell you that because your mind will say, oh, do I really want it? I don't know if it's really, you know, and you have all these battles. But listen, if it lines up with Scripture and it's a worthy cause and you've decided and you feel like prompted from the Holy Spirit, don't let Satan talk you out of it. Don't stay in misery is my point. And so, verse 42, when the Philistine looked up about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good looking. Maybe that's another reason they didn't like David, because he's so good looking. I think that's why my family hates me so much. I'm just kidding. They love me, and I'm not, you know, I know what I look like. Just see if you're awake. Verse 43, so the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And I'm thinking, David said, yeah, just keep your eye on the stick, boy, because I got something in my other hand. And the Philistine cursed David by his God. See, this is a bully. This is the way bullies do. Once you confront them, watch, they're going to get louder, they're going to get louder, they're going to get louder. That's the way bullies do. Almost across the board, that's the way they do. Bullies are a lot like dogs. If there's a dog in the yard, he's going, and he's getting louder, and he's just really, you know, I'm not too concerned about those kind. The kind that really scare me is the ones that you pull up and they're just looking at you. Really, you ever notice that? They're not barking, but they're looking like you're on my territory. That's the ones, and so this is a bully. I mean, this is what they do. They curse, they try to intimidate, nothing new. And so the Philistine said to David, verse 4, come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. They threaten, they try to slander, they try to demean. It's nothing new. And they're going to be here as long as we walk this planet. How many saw on TV the other day? It had on a news channel. There was an elderly lady, probably in her, I don't know, 60s, maybe early 70s, and she was a bus monitor. And these little kids were just poking fun of her, calling her fat, and one of them poked her with a book and watched her jiggle, and just terrible. One kid had his little iPhone out, and he was videoing this. Some man saw that video. Of course, the parents were just, just heartbroken that their kids could be so cruel. But one man saw the video, and he put out a plea. He said, I'd like to send her on vacation to Hawaii or somewhere really nice, and I'd like to raise $5,000. And I think the last I heard, it was over $500,000. In fact, at dinner last night, Kelly says, why don't you, Jan and Kelly, just devise a scheme. Why don't you be the bully and I'll be the bully, and then you will film it and send it in. You know, just they were making fun. They were not going to do that. But I thought, isn't that sweet revenge when you see something like that and God just turn that around? She's going to pay off her house and she can retire and all that stuff. But she just told them the truth. She didn't just sit there and cry. You know, and then they start talking about her kids and just being terrible. But she would tell them what they needed to hear. She kept speaking the truth. And she spoke the truth and God intervened, and it just was amazing what came out. But the bullies aren't going to shut up, and the bullies cannot make a difference in what who you are or what you need to do. Now watch this. David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin." Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Here's a big guy who's just decked out with all this armor. Not only that, but he's got this huge sword on his side, and he's got a spear and a javelin. He's going to spear you when you get there. He's going to throw a javelin before you get there, and when he's hopefully he's going to cut you into pieces once he kills you. And that's what he's facing. He says, "But I come to you." Now, here's the other phrase I want to give you. First, is there not a cause? What is the cause? That's the first thing you need to answer. And if the answer is this is a cause worth fighting for, this is the second thing you need to consider. He said, "I come to you in the name of the Lord." I come to you in the name of the Lord. In other words, I'm not coming as David, Jesse's son. I'm not coming as an Israelite. I'm coming to you on God's terms. How many knows when we come to people in the name of the Lord, what we're saying is this: I'm going to come to you and we're going to have battle, but I'm going to do it according to God's word. I come to you in the name of the Lord. That's really important, because if there's a cause and we get our emotions and our selfishness and our feelings involved, just let me tell you, we're going to taint the results and suffer the consequences. You can mark that down. Whenever we don't come in the name of the Lord, we come in our own little selfishness, or you hurt me and I'll show you, and we get these little feelings involved instead of coming in the name of the Lord with love and forgiveness and grace and all those sort of things. When we get that involved, then we've just lost it. Now we've brought our self element in, and so God says, if you want to handle it, you handle it then. If you want to come in my name, I will handle it. That's really key. I cannot stress that enough. For David coming, and that's why I think no one else took the battlefield, because they were afraid to come, because they were coming in their own name. David came in the name of the Lord. He says, "I come to you in the name of the Lord." Write it down. Would you write it down? I'm not going to fight you in my own, with my own mind, my own heart, my own motives. But what I am going to do is I'm going to look at this, and I'm going to go by the book on how God wants me to handle this. And when we do, there's a cause, and we're coming in the name of the Lord. Then God says, "Now you have my help. Now you have forces working with you that no one can see, but it's just as real as the life you're living." Those two things are just, they're huge, trust me. So here's one other thing I'll give you, and then we'll close. Look in verse 46. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. Watch this. Step two. I will strike you. Step three, I'll take your head from you. Step four, and this day I will give the carcasses. He's talking to the men on the cliff now that's looking around and laughing at a ruddy kid. I will give your carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord, not that David, that the Lord does not save with sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. I can just see a handful, or maybe more than a handful, of Philistines standing on the cliff, listening to this young kid with a stick in his hand and a sling in his hand, saying, "Oh, he's going to cut his head off. What is he going to do? Beat it off with his stick?" Because that's what bullies do. They look at your weaknesses and they try to make fun of you, whether it's your health, your pimples, your whatever it is. They look at your weaknesses and they make fun. They chide and they try to, whatever they can do to demean you and all your faults and flaws, and they look at us and that's what they do. Verse 48, so when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, David hurried. Did you get that? David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. That's the way you meet a bully. You run just as fast as they do. You get just as intense as they do. Now, you don't do it with screaming and yelling. You just do it with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Then David put his hand in his bag. He took the stone and he slung it and struck the Philistine in the forehead so that the stone sank up into his forehead. He didn't just hit him on the head. The rock is buried in his brain. He fell on his face to the earth. And probably if you'd been standing on the other side with the Israelis, you could have probably heard the gasp from across the valley. David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in his hand. Listen, don't worry about what you don't have when you're fighting for a cause in the name of the Lord. You don't have to worry what you lack because God will make it up somehow. When you find a cause that you know that's right and you're doing it in the name of the Lord with the right heart, right attitude, right frame of mind, and you're standing, don't worry about what you don't have. I didn't have size. I didn't have the experience. Johnny fought all the time. He'd come in with knots on his head and knots on other people's head. He fought all the time. I didn't have that experience. He had size on me, experience on me. I didn't care. This is right. This is right. I'm not carrying your clothes. This is right. You say, well, what if it hit you in the nose? I don't know. I didn't get that far. I might have picked him up. I don't know. But it was right. It was right. Is it right? Is it a cause? Are you doing it in the name of the Lord? Are you preparing? You know, and that's the other thing I want to give you. David, boy, he named it all precisely what he was going to do. Don't go into a bully just thinking, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm just going to do something. And, you know, ask God. Get you a plan. When he said, I'm going to cut your head off, and he didn't have a sword, he wasn't worried. That's just the process. Let God worry about bringing it to pass. How many has ever seen the Spider-Man movies? I thought, I believe whenever he killed Goliath and he put the stone in his brain and he's laying there on his face and the dust is boiling from his big body. And it said, David, verse 51, ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword, drew it out of its sheath and killed him and cut off his head. And when the Philistines saw it, their champion was dead, they fled. I can just imagine him going like this and going, whoom, you know, and it's sinking up in his head and Goliath falling forward on his face. The dust boils, and before he can hardly hit the ground, David runs over and jumps on his big body, pulls his sword out, goes, whack, and picks his head up and looks up at the hills. And the Bible said, for the kid standing there had done what he said he was going to do, and he looked at them, he said, they all fled. How many know a few people you just like to cut their head off and look at the rest of them? We can't do that. But you know what? We can cut the head off of a bully by saying, this is a cause that's worth standing for. And I'm not going to be demeaned any longer. I don't care if it costs me my job. I don't care if it costs me a poke in the nose. I'm not going to stand to let you bully me anymore. It's worth standing. It's a cause that's worth standing for. And I come to you. I'm going to approach it in the name of the Lord. And then I'm going to devise a plan according to what the Holy Spirit gives me. And I'm going to initiate that plan and work through that plan. And God is going to help me. That's what David did. And I think this bully was brought to you by the Holy Spirit. I really believe that this was a God thing. I really do. Because they never approached, you know, any kind of strategy. They let the bully be a bully until David came and he heard with anointed ears. And I think God has ordained some of you to take care of bullies that nobody else will take care of. But God's given you the grace and the means, the anointing to do that. Somebody in your family, friends, work, community, wherever it's at, maybe church, but he's given you the ability to handle the bully. And he's given you the assignment. And if he does, and it's a cause worth fighting, and you come in the name of the Lord, and you say, what do you want me to do, Lord? And I'll be faithful to do it. You can change and transform lives. I think we can deliver bullies personally from all their fear and anxiety and their stress and all their bullying ways of screaming and making a fool of themselves. Father, thank you for showing us and giving us a strategy for all the bullies that will come. And we'll all face bullies, Lord, probably as long as we walk this planet. I thank you for this victory story, just like the lady on the bus monitor, that if we stand up and we say what needs to be said, even if it's through tears or through fretting, like the little lady was fretting the other day, that there's a reward coming. I pray over this congregation. Maybe there's bullies in some of their lives right now that you've brought to light and you've brought to mind, and they're thinking, maybe God has called me at this time to approach my bully. I pray that you would anoint them and use them for your glory. Help them to examine the calls one more time. And if you say go, I pray that you'll help them to come in the name of the Lord. Approach their battle in the name of the Lord. Not in their own power, not in their own defense, not with their own motives, but with a godly heart and grace and mercy. But approach it through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that they'll be able to transform lives and individuals and peoples and companies for that matter. Departments, whatever it may be. And I thank you, Lord, for showing us that it's okay. That we're not doormats, but we're children of the Most High God. And you placed us strategically where we are in this planet. And that some bullies will be prepared just for us. Or you will send us to certain places. Just like you sent David to the field that day to deliver cheese and crackers, but he wound up facing the bully and defeating the bully. So help us to realize that you placed us strategically in this planet. And somebody has to stand up to the bullies. Maybe it's us. And if it is, Lord, give us the grace and the peace and the prompting to know. And give us the strategy we need. And help us to do it with love, because you said love never fails. It may not be easy, but we can do it with love, because love never, ever fails. Thank you, Lord, for helping us fight our battles and giving us the wisdom we need today. We give you praise for that, and all the church said, amen. Today, we give you